The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'd bless the preaching of your word this morning. We're thankful for your goodness. We're thankful that each and every day you desire to walk with us throughout the day, to be there for us, to guide and direct us. And now, Lord, in a very real and powerful way, we ask that you'd meet with us. Lord, we've lifted up our voices. We sang the hymns and the songs and the specials, and we want you to minister to our heart. We need you, Lord, to minister to our heart in a very powerful way. Lord, I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to stand before this behind this pulpit and to stand before these people. And Lord, I understand. I don't understand fully enough, but I understand that I'm not worthy to stand behind this pulpit and preach. But you've called me to preach, and I thank you for that, and I thank you for the responsibility. And so I desperately need your help. I confess to you, Lord, my faults and my failures, but I depend this morning upon your grace and upon your mercy. I depend upon you, Holy Spirit, to take these words and just to touch our hearts and bring conviction. And truly, maybe there's someone here that has never received Christ as their Savior. Holy Spirit, you must bring the conviction to their heart and cause them to realize how much Jesus loves them and cares for them, and how He died for them and paid the penalty for their sin. For those of us that have already put our place and trust in Jesus, Lord, I pray that you'd help this message to be a practical message, that we could learn from it and grow from it, be drawn closer to you, and have a closer walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 21 this morning. I'm going to read verses 1 through 15, and this is our continuing our series of the life of David. David, a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 through 15. If you were not here last week, the Bible, we kind of zeroed in on a decision that David had to make. He was waiting by the stone Eziel, and that stone there, that in the Hebrew it means the way or the place of decision. And God had instructed through a series of events that David was going to have to leave King Saul and leave the comfort of all of that. Saul wanted to kill him. And David had been loyal to the king. He really loved the king, but the king had become jealous with envy over David. David will one day become the king. That time hasn't come yet, but someday he's going to become the king. And all the events leading up to that are preparing David to be the next king of Israel. And so the Bible says, we'll look at the end of chapter number 22 and verse 42. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.' And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, 'Why art thou alone, and no man with thee?' And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, 'The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present.' And the priest answered David and said, 'There is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women.' And David answered the priest and said unto him, 'Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days, since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel.' And so the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. And now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. And his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that, give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Let me just stop there for a minute. This is the same David that took upon himself the battle with Goliath. Let's just read the last two verses. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a madman, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? The king of Gath, Achish, he didn't even want David around. He said, There's something wrong with this guy. He's strange. I don't need this. Well, I wanted to preach this message to you this morning. As you can see on your handout, the title of the message, well, you tell me, look on your handout, what's the title of the message? Fear. Because that's what David is gripped with. He's gripped with fear. He's afraid. He's afraid of King Saul. And it said in verse 10, notice it says there, And David arose that day for fear of Saul. And so he runs from Saul, and I can't go back into this because we've preached it before, but Saul is trying to kill David. He wants him dead for a number of reasons. But so David then goes to this king, Achish, and the king of Gath, and while he's there, there are some that say, Well, wait a minute, we know this David. This David's a mighty warrior. Do we really want this? And you have to understand that the king of Gish, they are enemies with the Israelite. David would have been one of their enemies. Do we really want him right here in our camp? This is the man that they say Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. And so now David becomes alarmed at that. He says, Whoa, they might want to kill me as well. And so he fakes that he's a madman, and he's got dribble coming down, and you just could see it's just kind of a sad state of affairs here. Because he's afraid. He's scared. He's running for his life. Fear has overcome him. I want to talk to you about that today and what's taking place here in David's life and the battle that David is facing in his own heart. He's dealing with it in his own heart. Now, on your handout, I put a quote that I read this week by the author Alan Redpath. And look what he said. He said this. He said, In the development of Christian character, there sometimes comes moments when darkness seems to fall, the sun seems to set, and to the man himself, everything seems lost. And this can happen in your life, in my life, even to the believer. When darkness, that's what fear does. Darkness kind of creeps in. Something's going on in your life, some circumstance, some situation, and you become fearful. It could be some news you get that, medically speaking, or some financial problem that you're having, or something going on at work. But fear can overwhelm you. And fear was beginning to overwhelm David, whom the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. So I submit to you this morning, if fear could begin to overwhelm David, fear can begin to overwhelm you and me as well. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. It's true. I mean, no one likes to be fearful. No one likes to be afraid. And sometimes the very providence of God seems to be counter to the very promises of God. Why, God, is this going on in my life? Or you remember when I preached you a series of messages on Elijah and Elisha, and it was right after God had called down, Elijah had called to God, and God brought down fire upon the altar on Mount Carmel. And then Elijah had the 450 of Ahab's prophets priests were slain. Well, the very next chapter, what do we find? We find there's Elijah in that great mountaintop experience. The very next chapter, Elijah is running for his life. Fear had consumed him, taken hold of him. So much so that twice in this chapter, he's afraid and he runs for his life, where he fakes the fact that he's a madman. Fear. The Bible says in 1 John 4, chapter 4 and verse 18, that there is no fear in love. Let's read that verse out loud together. It's on your handout. Read it with me, won't you? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So we're reminded in the text and in the Scriptures that there's a fear that can torment us. And let's just be honest, sometimes that comes. And we know this is a promise from God in 1 John 4:18, that in the love of Christ and abiding in Christ, that fear should not be there. But sometimes it creeps into our life, and Lord willing, by the time I'm done with this message, we'll see how to deal with that. But let's just admit that sometimes it creeps in. Sometimes it's more serious than others. Sometimes it's just a matter of, I was telling some of the fellas, and a week ago, I'm riding down the road and I'm talking to myself, not out loud, but I am talking to myself. Sometimes my kids, they say, Dad, who are you talking to? I guess my lips are moving, but nothing coming out of my mouth. But I'm really talking to the Lord. I'm just thinking, wow, this is good, Lord, that I've had no problems with my cars in the last... Well, on Monday, the brakes went on my Volvo. On Tuesday, the fuel pump went on the Astro van. I had to get it towed. And now there's something wrong with the church van, all in one week. I was saying to Shelley, oh, I can't believe this. We are just starting to kind of get ahead. Have you ever been there? You're just starting to get a little bit ahead. And you're like, well, I can take care of this and I can take care of that. And all I can think of is I got to take care of those cars. And you wonder, this isn't a great fear. I mean, the Lord will provide and so on and so forth. But sometimes those fears can, if we let them materialize, they become bigger and bigger. We begin to dwell on them. Well, David's dealing with fear here. And we know the Scriptures tell us that perfect love, it casteth out fear. Well, three points on this handout. Number one is the reality of fear, and I've really already talked quite a bit about that. The reality of fear. Listen, fear is always the enemy of faith. Fear is always the enemy of faith. The battleground of your Christian experience, the battleground of my Christian experience, that's where it often takes place, between fear and faith. You and I, we will grow and we will triumph as we allow faith in our lives to defeat the fear that creeps into our lives. And David is going to have to learn that. The Scriptures tell us and speak with regards to you and I not having or the fear of man. Jesus said this, "And fear not them which kill the body," meaning mankind. "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We've been talking a lot the last several weeks, and we've been praying on our Wednesday night prayer meeting for North Korea and what's going on there, and the terrible persecution in North Korea. And we actually, on Wednesday nights, we've been praying for the leader, some of us, of North Korea, and for his salvation. And you know, this man is a despot. He hates Christians. He's putting them to death. But by the way, so was the Apostle Paul at one time in his life. I mean, could you imagine? What's his name? Kim? Yeah, Kim Jong-un. Could you imagine if he came to know Christ as his Savior? What a testimony that would be to the world. But let me say this. Why is it that there are so many people in North Korea that are willing to sacrifice their lives for the faith and other places around the world? Places like in the Middle East where Islam, if you convert from Islam to Christianity, why is it that there are people willing to do that in fear of death? Because they understood what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. They're not fearful of what man can do. Their fear, it really brings us, if you turn over your handout, their fear is the fear of God. And that's a healthy fear. The fear of man is an unhealthy fear. The fear of God is a healthy fear. I have a book in my library. It's a great book. It's called The Joy of Fearing the Lord. And if you've never read that book, you ought to read that book. The Joy of Fearing the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is such that you have a respect for God, that you reverence Him. The more respect and the more reverence that you and I have for God, the more joyful our life is, the more in tune and in touch we are with the Lord. The psalmist said this, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." Listen, the time of this testing that David is going through, this fear that's come into his life, by the way, and we're going to see, David let this get the best of him. He wasn't always like this. And we'll see that in a minute. And David was going to learn some things here and better prepare him for being the king. The psalmist would say elsewhere, in fact, just sometime, just Google, or not Google, but go to your computer and print, and if you have a Bible program, just plug in the fear of the Lord and see how many times the psalmist uses that phrase. These are just two places. But he said, "He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great." Listen, I fear the Lord because He loves me. I fear the Lord because He wants the best for me. I fear the Lord because He wants me to have an abundant life. In other words, I have a reverence for God. I want to do His will. I want to respect Him in what I say and how I act and in my actions and in my attitude. Listen, really one of the reasons that you gather for Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night really is because you have a fear of the Lord. And it shouldn't necessarily be a fear that God is going to chastise you and punish you. You gather because you have that reverence and you have that respect because you understand that you are a sinner, that you were lost, you were on your way to hell, and Jesus came, and Jesus shed His blood on an old rugged cross, and He was buried, and 3 days later He rose from the dead. And so I'm here this morning to tell you I'm here because I fear the Lord. But it's a healthy fear. It's a good fear. Because I know that He's looking out for my very best. But somewhere along the line here, David, he's lost his vision. And that brings us to the second point, really, of the message. And it's this, it's our response. This same writer that I quoted earlier said this on your handout. I put it for you. I like this. He said, it takes a moment to make a convert. I mean, the instant that the Spirit of God moves upon our heart, the instant we realize that Jesus died and He paid for our sin, the moment we come to accept that and we cry out by faith and ask Jesus to be our Savior, that moment, instantaneously, by His mercy and by His grace, you become a child of God. Amen? But then it takes a lifetime for you and I to grow in the faith. I read this many, many years ago in a publication called Sword of the Lord. I've never forgot it. It was an article entitled, "There Are No Instant Mashed Potato Christians." So what do you mean by that? You ever make instant mashed potatoes? You take the powder, pour it in a bowl, put the water in there, you stir it around, you got mashed potatoes. When I worked in a restaurant when I was younger, they had a machine. So somebody wanted mashed potatoes, you took the bowl, you pushed the button, the water came out of one thing, the powder came out of the other thing, it got in the bowl, and you had mashed potatoes. But it doesn't work that way in your life and my life. And by the way, if you put enough butter and enough sour cream in those instant mashed potatoes, they tasted okay. No, we grow in the faith. The Lord is working on each and every single one of us, growing us in the faith. I don't care how long or how short you've been a Christian, the Lord is working in your life and wants to mature you and grow you and conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, what happened here with regards to how David responded? First are the circumstances. Well, we've already said that he's running for his life, but would you just do this? Go back to chapter number 20 and look at verse 37. Chapter 20 and verse 37. The Bible says, "And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, 'Is not the arrow beyond thee?'" And real quickly, just as a reminder, if you weren't here last week and you're not familiar with this, Jonathan, Saul's son, and David are the best of friends. David, he says to Jonathan, "The king wants to kill me." Jonathan says, "No, I don't think my father really wants to kill you. Here's the plan. It's the new moon. We're going to have the feast. Normally, David would be at the feast." David said, "I'm not going to go to the feast. You tell your father I've gone to have the feast with my family. You question your father, King Saul, with regards to this. You see what his attitude is." And then the plan is this: that David would wait out by the stone Iziel, and Jonathan would come out with the lad. He would take the arrow and shoot the arrow. If the arrow went beyond the stone, the signal was that, "Yes, David, my father wants to kill you. You need to flee. If not, then we'll meet together and everything will be fine." Well, the arrow went beyond the stone. And now David was going to have to go beyond his comfort zone. He was going to have to leave the comfort of his home. He was going to have to leave the king's table where they would gather. Everything was going to change for him. In your life and my life, if we're going to grow in the faith, there are always going to be moments that we're going to have to move beyond where we're at. Christianity isn't about, "This is where I've reached, and now I'm set right here, and now I don't really need to move any further." No, in David's life, there's an illustration with the arrow going beyond the stone. It's the Lord saying to David, "You're going to need to go beyond where you've ever been with regard to your walk with me. And that's going to mean you're going to have to learn to trust me even more. You're going to have to learn to depend upon me even more. You're going to have to learn to walk with me even more than you walked with me before." And in every one of our lives, if we're really going to have a vibrant and a growing Christian life, that's going to have to take place. Or else we'll become stale, we'll become stagnant. There's no such thing as a spiritual plateau. It's an unspiritual plateau. These experiences that David is going to face, these are going to make him a godly king. And those experiences that you and I are going to face, they're going to continue to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Because that's why we're here. And whether you're 57 or whether you're 77 or whether you're 107, well, I read this week that, you know, there's over 12,000 people in America that are over 100 years old. Wow, I didn't think that was that many. But whatever you are, that was for free. That wasn't part of the message. Whatever you are, well, it's good if you're 77, you might think, "Wow, I could have another 30 years to live yet." Right? Amen? But wherever you are, whatever you're doing, listen, don't reach that plateau. Oh, well, No. God wants you to take another step and another step. And sometimes when God asks that, we can be fearful. I was sharing with one of the men that was early before the service how I came to know Christ as my Savior and how God called me into the ministry. And I remember as that point there, I was my first 4 years in the pastorate. I was running my own business, and I was pastoring at the same time. And during that time, God began to speak to my heart, and God began to speak to me and say, listen, Eric Malachuk, either you're going to be a businessman full-time, or you're going to be in the ministry full-time. You need to make up your mind. And I debated with God, well, God, the church doesn't have enough finances to pay me. I've got a family. I've got to feed them. And there was fear in my heart. Until finally the Lord brought circumstances to bear that I was more afraid not to step out and go into the ministry full-time than I was to stay where I was. Well, I want you to see something here with regards to these circumstances. So there's Jonathan, or there's David. He's afraid. Well, go back, and I want you to see the reverse of this. Go to chapter 16 and verse 13. Chapter 20 and verse 3. Chapter 20 and verse 3. Here's David. Here's where it begins to creep in. David's meeting with Jonathan, and he says this. Right, look right in the middle of the verse. Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Now, in some ways, that's a true statement for each and every one of us. Amen? There is only a step between life and death. But not in David's case. God had made a promise to David. God had anointed David. God had said to David, David, one day you are going to be the king. Go back to chapter number 18 and verse 28. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. It's amazing in verse 28, the first part of that verse, that Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. By the time David is running from Saul, it seems as if Saul understands even more so than David that the Lord is with David. David's having a hard time with that. And when you and I, when we allow fear to get to manifest itself in our lives, we forget that the Lord is with us. He's promised to never leave us and to never do what? You tell me. To forsake us. Amen. Let's say that again. He's promised never to leave us and forsake. Yeah, that's a truth from the Bible. And it seems David is, there's a progression. He begins to forget that. Go to chapter 17 and verse 37. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. This is when David, the shepherd boy, takes on Goliath. No problem here with David's vision. No fear here in David's life. Amen? And then I'm not going to have you turn back, but if you want one more verse back to chapter 16, that's where David was anointed by God. He was anointed by the Lord. But somewhere along the way, he begins to lose that vision. He begins to lose the strength that he once had. There's a crisis. So much so, you go back to chapter number 21 now, in verse 1 and 2, that David, as he's on the run, he comes to the high priest there, and he flees to Naoth in verse 1 and Ramah, and, that's verse chapter 20. Chapter 21. Did I say chapter 21? Okay, so he comes to David, to Nob, to Ahimelech. He's the priest. And Ahimelech, he's afraid at the meeting of David. He's afraid. Seems like everybody's afraid in this chapter, amen? Why art thou alone and no man with thee? The priest says to David. What are you doing here? What does David do? He lies. His fear causes him to lie. He says in verse 2, unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business. That's a bold-faced lie. The king hadn't commanded him a business. He's afraid. And he said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servant to such and such a place. Fear so consumed him. Listen, Ahimelech didn't know one way or the other. Ahimelech was not a threat to David. But he became fearful and he lies to the high priest. And by the way, there would be consequences. If you remember from what I read, there's a fellow that shows up. His name is Doeg. And Doeg sees that David is there. And David, he flees. But because of this encounter, if you'll just quickly go over to chapter 22 and look at verse 18. Doeg goes back to King Saul, and he tells King Saul that he saw David there. King Saul just surmises that the high priest must have been in league with David, and he tells Doeg to go back and to kill the priest and all the priests that are with him. 86 people died because of David's situation. There's a crisis. David's response to fear is far more than him just fleeing and running. The Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now why is it then? Why did David allow this fear to grip him? And why do you and I, why do we allow fear to grip him when we know when the Scriptures tell us that God has not given us the spirit of fear? And when that fear begins to creep in, when that fear, whatever it might be, and some of the things that I mentioned, why is it that it sometimes even causes us to flee from God? Maybe it's like David. David was so busy. You know, when David was a shepherd boy, he spent so much time just talking to the Lord, just dwelling out in the fields with the Lord as he watched the sheep. When he took on Goliath, that's where he came from. Where he'd meditate. You know, remember what the Scriptures say in the Psalm? Blessed is the man that meditateth night and day. And David's life had become so busy and so on the run and doing so many things that maybe he had forgotten that the Lord was with him. The Lord was right there. It seems that he's just running to and fro. Sometimes I think in your life and my life, what happens is we begin to bank on the experiences that we had with the Lord 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and we forget. It seems often in Christians' lives, especially for brand new believers, when they just accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and the reality of that is fresh and it's new, and they understand what Jesus has done. You know, it's that old saying that preachers used to say. They used to say, boy, you have that kind of faith, you could charge hell with a squirt gun. Somewhere along the lines, well, maybe we better use a fire hose. We go start going through life, we're banking on our experiences 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Remember the hymn? Just a closer walk with thee. 20 years ago was my plea. No, daily let me walk close to thee. Daily, every day. So now we'll finish up by Psalm 56. Here's the remedy. David wrote this psalm during this experience. Psalm 56, and we're done. The psalmist said, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Are you there? Psalm 56. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. Let's just stop there for a minute. Listen, your enemies every day want to swallow you up. Think of someone who's battling some type of a sickness, maybe a terminal illness, or maybe it's not terminal, but potentially it's terminal. And maybe, and having ministered to people like this, one day they get through that day and they have a pretty good day with it. My best friend in the ministry, Tim Taylor, my heart really breaks for he and his wife. His wife has been diagnosed with a lung disease. They have told her just a week ago that she has 3 years to live, and then she'll need between that time to survive, she needs a lung transplant. And then I was at a preacher's meeting on Friday, and he said this to the other pastors during our prayer time. And then he said, fellas, even when you get the lung transplant, your life expectancy is only 5 years after that. Almost from the moment you get the transplant, you begin to slowly start to deteriorate again. He said, fellas, he said, I have ministered to people in conditions like this, but he said, when you have to turn to your wife and you have to answer this question, when your wife says to you, honey, we've served God all of these years. We've been used by Him to build a work and a camp, and we've ministered to people. Just why is God allowing this in our lives? And some days she has good days, and some days Tim has good days, and some days he doesn't have good days. This is his soulmate. They worked as a team. The success of Victory Baptist Church, of course, is the Lord's success. Amen? But the Lord raised those two up. They work as a team. I've known him for almost 30 years, and Sandy. They work as a team. Ethan Teat taught a Sunday school lesson, our adult Sunday school class today, on one flesh. And they work as a team. So one day it's a good day, but then the enemy of death wants to swallow them up. The thought of death wants to swallow them up. The idea of just throwing in the... And I don't care who you are, you're going to face things like that in life. David's going to learn that. This is not going to be the first time. David is going to face issue after issue in his life. And so he says there in chapter number 56 in verse 2, my enemies would swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. And then he says this, it's a great verse. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Wow, that's, if you've never memorized any verse in the scripture, that'd be one you ought to memorize. Amen? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And so the fear starts to creep in. And by the way, this is how the Word of God works in conjunction with the Spirit of God. Wait a minute. The Bible says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And then, but that fear came. Wait a minute. The Bible says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That's how it works, ladies and gentlemen. That's when you take the Word of God in conjunction with the Holy Spirit of God and let the Word of God and the Spirit of God give you the courage that you need to get through whatever the consequences in life are. In God, verse 4, I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. So every day David is facing these struggles and facing these obstacles and facing this opposition. So every day David had to learn, and you and I need to learn, that every day we need a daily walk with the Lord. Amen? Every day. The psalmist said, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. All of our confidence, all of our trust, it must be in the Lord Himself. And we must praise His Word. And praising His Word is more than saying, oh, I'm just thankful for the Bible. Well, that's a good thing to say, amen. But really, when you and I read the Scriptures and allow the Scriptures to minister to our heart, and we memorize the Scriptures, and when these things come along our way, the fear comes along our way, and we just, what time I am afraid, times, and I will trust in Thee. When we use the Word of God, when we memorize it and speak to our hearts about it, and let the Spirit of God bring it to our remembrance, really, in a real way, we're praising God's Word. There's no better way to praise God's Word than to put God's Word to work. And David would have to learn that. And you and I, we have to learn that in life. We have to have a daily walk, and then he had to have a daily talk with the Lord. Verse 6, they gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. As if David is saying, around every corner, around every nook, there they are, waiting to pounce. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps, they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in the book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. I was just reading the book of Isaiah about the time that the enemies have surrounded Jerusalem, and they cry out to Hezekiah, and they tell Hezekiah that, listen, you need to surrender to us, or we're going to do to you what we've done to all the other nations. And they said to Hezekiah's people, they said, don't put your trust in God. They said, you know, this group of people, they put their trust in their God. This group of people put their trust in their God. This group of people, they put their trust in their God. And we defeated them, one after another after another. And you can go ahead and follow your leader Hezekiah, and you can do what he says. But just like we defeated those other gods, we're going to defeat you, and we'll defeat your gods also. The Bible says that Hezekiah just spread out this message before himself and got on his hands and knees, and he wept before God, and God delivered him. He understood the importance of having a daily walk and a daily talk with the Lord, and so should you and I. Be careful, the Bible says, for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. We need daily confidence in God to confront all the circumstances and crises that we face in life. And so how about you this morning? In verse 11 of the psalm, he said, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Well, there's a man whose confidence is now being built up in the things of God. And that's the kind of man and woman God wants for you and I to be. Our confidence built up in God and the things of God. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. The hymnist said, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So David allowed those fears to get a hold of him. There were consequences when his faith failed. But as we read in that psalm, he came to some understandings. And those understandings helped him to grow and to become more like the Lord. But ask yourself, when was the last time, when was truly the last time God heard from you a hungry cry of a needy soul, just begging God, understanding how much you need Him each and every day? You need His grace each and every day. Just as you need to eat physical food each and every day, You need the manna from heaven, the spiritual food, each and every day of your life.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.